Liam, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. With the popularity of Missy Higgins and Tim Minchin's latest songs, are we seeing a resurgence of the mainstream Aussie protest song?
I hope so. I think that it's notable how big the kind of cut through both songs have been having. I think Tim's song was number one on iTunes for a period last week, and it's certainly connected with a huge number of people. And I think that we've always had good protest music in Australia. It never really went away, but because of the kind of general diffusion and fragmentation of popular culture in general, it's been harder lately for things to cut through to large numbers of people. So I guess maybe it could connect with, hopefully, a more active sense of political awareness in general. I'm optimistic about that, but that's not, I'm not an expert in that area, so I can't say for sure. But, you know, let's hope that the increased profile of these songs means that people are, in general, becoming a bit more active.
In your opinion, could these songs one day be considered classics like I Was Only 19 or Beds Are Burning? Is it possible for a modern protest song to reach that level of acclaim?
It's a good question. I think that it depends on the song. I don't actually think that Tim Minchin's song will likely have that kind of long-lasting effect. Missy Higgins's might, I'm not sure yet, but just to deal with Tim's first, he didn't think of it necessarily having that kind of longevity, I don't think. Apparently he wrote it very quickly, and, you know, it's not necessarily something that people will keep coming back to. I think when you think of the great kind of folk protest songs from, say, the anti-war movement of the 60s, you had large crowds of people in America attending concerts where these songs were sung repeatedly, and then you had them played on the radio for you know, quite long periods of time when that was the only kind of method of distribution, apart from, of course, LPs. Whereas now we're kind of moving on to the next thing always very quickly. And as good as that song is, I'm not sure that it's going to have the kind of replay that it would need to get that long-term effect. I mean, it's possible it will. With Missy Higgins' song, I don't think she herself would consider it a protest song. She had different things in mind when she composed it. I think she said something along the lines of she didn't really think of it as being political in that sense, as in attacking any particular group's position. I think that that's an interesting point, but I think that it's still possible to consider it a protest song in a really broad sense when any song advocates for some kind of social change, even if it doesn't advocate it directly, even if it just stands for being against war, it can be classified as a protest song in that really broad sense. But again, in terms of the long term, it's hard to say. I hope so. I think that the popularity means that we might get more things like this, and it just depends. You know, everyone knows the Midnight Oil songs. Everyone knows Treaty by Yossi Yindi. And people just kind of stayed in our culture somehow. I don't see that happening quite to the same extent at the moment because, as I say, the turnover is so quick.
You mentioned that you didn't think the Aussie protest song had really died. Was it simply lying dormant, or did it just move from the mainstream to more alternative audiences?
Yeah, it definitely went to it went to a few different directions. In that article that I posted last week, one of the earliest areas to pick it up was Australian hip hop, and pretty much what tends to happen is that protest music usually starts at a grassroots level. So that's why folk music was where it got picked up. Early rock, Australian pub rock too, in a sense, is grassroots in that it, and then who's like hip hop, Australian hip hop in the early 2000s was not, and I use the word grassroots as opposed to being kind of commercialized. And what happens is that after the protest music gets disseminated through that kind of grassroots music, big companies generally figure out how to commercialize it a few years later. So that happens when hip hop in it was developing in the U.S. throughout the 70s and 80s. It took a long time for the big record companies to figure out how to exploit that success, but they eventually did in the late 90s. And Australian hip hop was, you know, a bit behind in that sense. So the alternative hip hop scene, which still exists in Australia, actually hasn't been commercialized in the same way that it has in America. But I think that scene was quite ripe for protest. But then, of course, there's also indigenous groups and indigenous artists who are doing really important work in this genre as well. And they're very well known. Things like Christina New. I mean, they're very well known people. So it's not like it's hidden from the mainstream. But it's definitely not. It's just we've got lots of different streams of music now. I mean, not just in the sense of streaming. I mean, in the sense that in the olden days it was just Rage, Triple J, and CD shops, and now we've just got too many. Well, not too many, but we've just got so many ways of getting music that you know, it's when something comes out. I think smaller and smaller numbers of people are really hearing things, but so I think that's one of the issues, definitely. Yeah.
And just before I let you go, does political or protest music have a place amongst other pop music of today, or is it better suited for a more alternative scene?
Oh, I think it should be alive and well in both. I think it definitely has a place, and I hope that in the mainstream, I hope that place gets more and more attention, because the issues that are facing us around the world, they seem bigger and worse than ever. And the more success that protest songs can have in the mainstream, the better. But I think it needs to be cultivated in the alternative scene as well, because that's where very often the more cutting edge and the more urgent, and also they seem to see further ahead in the future as to what the looming political problems are. And I think that that we need to kind of cultivate both and be aware of both and promote both, listen to both and support both.
Well, Liam, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.